why are we doing testimony Sundays? Like, where did that come from? Are we de-emphasizing preaching? Do we not care about that anymore? I just want to say, as a person who is called to be a preacher, I still very much believe in the preaching of the Word of God, not trying to diminish that at all. I do, however, believe that testimony is an important part of our worship as a congregation. And, you know, if we have the mix wrong, we can possibly adjust that. But I wanted to share these verses from Revelation 12 and just kind of highlight a few reasons why I think it's important to give testimony. And then we're going to invite you to actually take some time to do that this morning. So I'm going to read here Revelation 12, starting in verse 10. John says, "Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, 'Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Messiah. For the accuser of our brothers and sisters who accuses them before our God day and night has been hurled down. They triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death.'" So a few things from those verses about the importance of giving testimony. When we give testimony, we give glory to God publicly, and we testify to what God has done in our lives and to how he's changing our lives. And we do that publicly. We give credit where credit is due. Secondly, we encourage our brothers and sisters. This has been a difficult season. I think the COVID season has been an unusually difficult season for people. But even when it's not this sort of special season of trial, you never know when people are struggling, when they're having trouble trusting God, when they're having trouble believing that God can make a difference in their lives. Maybe they were counting on God for something important, and it seems like God didn't come through and their faith is kind of on a low ebb. When we share the stories of what God is doing and how he's working, it's an encouragement to people to not give up, to hang in there when the going gets hard, especially in those cases where we can't see what he's doing. A third reason that it's important to give testimony is it reminds us to look for what God is doing in our lives and to pray when we can't see it. All of us go through times like that. We all go through seasons where we have trouble identifying where God is and what he's doing. We know in our heads that God is everywhere and that he's supposed to still be at work. We're just having trouble discerning it. And so when we are looking for what God is doing and we can't see it, it's not the time to panic, but it is the time to turn back to God and say, "Lord God, help me to have eyes to see what you're doing. I know you're at work. Help me to see how." And then lastly, and this is one of the strong points of this particular passage, we battle the accuser. There is someone constantly trying to interfere with us, trying to discourage us, trying to get us to quit, trying to tell us that we're not, you know, none of this is going to add up to anything. We might as well give up now. And we need to remember that the world is not neutral ground. It is a battleground. And we have an enemy who is coming against us, and giving testimony is one of the ways that we fight back. One of the ways that we say, "No, I may not know everything, but I know this. I know that God has done these things. I know that God is at work doing this now. And we push back against the enemy. So as we have this time of testimony this morning, my hope is that you will do just that, that you will push back, especially if it's been kind of a heavy, lamentable, difficult season. It's been a season of loss for a lot of us. And I don't want to run away from that. I want to put a smiley face on it and say, hey, it's just still great. But I do want to say that God is great. And how can we do that honestly? How can we recognize what we do know about God's goodness and give glory to him for that? We're going to take the next few minutes for you to kind of collect yourself. You can jot some notes down. Maybe a question to ask yourself is, what are you thankful for? What has God done or given for which you're thankful? And that you could just say that this morning. You can also look for where you've seen God at work in someone's life or in your own life. So I'm going to give you a few minutes to collect yourself, and then we're going to go into breakouts to have a chance to share. So this is your warning. No one's going to be forced to share. So if you don't want to say anything, you don't have to say anything. But I encourage you to risk it, to try. Worship is a participatory thing. It's something that we are involved in, and we want to give glory to God. So we have a couple of minutes to do that, and then we will go to the breakouts to share for about 15 minutes. Yeah, take time to share what God has done. If you're in the place where you feel like, you know, all I'd really want is for people to pray for me, having trouble with seeing what God is doing, that's perfectly acceptable. That is a great way to use this time. So Ratchet, take it away. Okay, we hopefully are all filtering back into this room now. I'm going to move you all back over to the screen that has the camera so I can look into the camera. Zoom is always outsmarting me and putting you on the big screen. We're going to take some time now, 10 to 15 minutes, just to share in the larger group. I realize this is a bit intimidating for some of you, and of course, no one is being forced. So don't feel compelled or like you're being embarrassed into doing this. You're not. But I want to make the space available. And as we give testimony, I just want to remind us that we are giving glory to God. So let's say that. Let's thank him. Let's praise him. We're testifying to his goodness and to his greatness. And so we always want to make sure that we point back to him. I think an orderly way to do this would be, if you would like to share in the larger group, notify me in the chat, and then we'll have an order of people that volunteered, and we'll get in as many as we can. So while you're getting ready to do that, I would like to give glory to God. Some of you know that we have Belema and Emmanuel and Enoch and Sarah living with us at this time. It's a blessing to have them with us. But the other night, little Enoch was sick. In fact, he was sick all day, hadn't eaten or opened his eyes all day. And we were concerned for him. Michelle finally talked them into taking him to the emergency room, which I think was the right call. Better safe than sorry. And so we were strapping him into the baby car seat. And, I just laid my hands on him and prayed that God would heal him. And we noticed that his eyes were open for the first time all day. And he began to be kind of interactive. He's looking at his dad and kind of connecting and this kind of thing. And we decided to go ahead and, you know, take him to the hospital anyway, just get him checked out. But I just wanted to praise God. I don't understand precisely how all the healing ministry stuff works, but I'm always thankful for when God does a miracle. So praise God. I see Betty Ann Sears' name in the chat. Betty Ann has been waiting for at least a couple of weeks. It might have been longer than that, but she's been very patient. So Betty Ann, go ahead and unmute, and we will we'll get you on.
Thank you. I think it's exciting. So a month ago I got ordained, and that was really special for me. It was a special gift from me, but the whole process started in February or March, or end of February, beginning of March. And I was having a hard time. Like, you know, I know in my head that God is great and bigger than a lot of things, but in that season, I didn't believe it. Like I didn't believe it. On one hand, my grandmother was really sick. She was like, she's paralyzed, 94 years old, and was crying to God to just bring me home. I just want to go home. And while that was happening, one of my best friend, her little brother, passed away from a drug-induced heart attack. And I was defeated. Like, I had a hard time. And I kept asking God, like, why is this happening? And God was talking to me about different things through that. Just give me a second. Sorry, I had more people living with me here. So yeah, this was like a really like hard time, and leading the DTS, one of our students, at the same time kind of lost his mind, I want to say. I don't know what the political way of saying it. He just like this, he would spoke differently. He was suicidal. We had to bring him in an emergency to the hospital. And I felt like in my presence, like I felt like right in front of what we were doing, the enemy would come and just steal away and just like rip apart. And here I am giving my life to God, and I see, and all of this is happening around me, and I feel defeated. I feel defeated. But I'm, you know, I'm the leader. I should still show up. So I show up, you know, for lectures and all this stuff in the midst of all of that. And when there was a ministry time, and they were asking for healing and to pray. And so as a good leader, I go in front of the class to show example. I had pain in my hip, and we started praying that they, you know, teach people, equip people how to pray for others. So somebody starts praying for me, and I start feeling this like, power, maybe is the best way to explain it, like in my chest. And I'm like, okay, I'm gonna get healed. Awesome. Glory to God. This is gonna happen. Like, but it stays there. And then it comes to my hand, and it feels like it's coming out of my hand. And I'm like, oh, for those who know me, I'm a scientist. So this does not make sense. Why is there power? I'm not getting healed. What's happening? So I've asked, and then I looked at the person that was praying for me, and he looked at me confused, feeling kind of what was happening. And then he touched my hands, and his reaction changed. And I felt that leaving my hands, and it was still in me. And then he prayed, Holy Spirit, move. And it went down my body. And I'm like, oh, this is it. I'm getting healed now. This is all right. But no, it didn't. Like, it felt this like power going through me, but nothing happened. I was still in pain. I still didn't know what's happening. And all this is happening around me. And then, like any good snowboarder, I went that evening to go to the mountain to like process what was happening. Like, Lord, all of this is happening. I don't believe that you're big enough. People, you're not healing anybody. People are like dying, and people, and then you show up, and then I don't get healed, and nothing happens. And God was just telling me, I am with you. I am with you. And I was like, this is just weird. This is, I'm with you. And then people in the community the next week would keep saying, I am with you. I am with you. And I'm with you. And there was this verse that I was meditating on Psalm 23 of like, in the presence of your enemy, I've prepared a table and I've anointed you and your cup overflows. And this idea that to me, anointing was always a little like dot on like the forehead. And then you pray and you just anointing that. And that was like, God was talking to me like, no, it's linked to your cup will overflow. It's an anointing that your cup overflow. And that's Amen. Kind of what I'm like talking to God about as I'm like, are you bigger than those situations around me? And he's telling me I'm with you and I'm with you. And then this organization came to meet with us in all of this procedure. So it's a big story that I'm trying to put in really short. But going to the funeral of my grandmother, I came back and I, like, this is all in a week and a half. I came back and then I was reading all that I needed to do to be ordained with the PAOC, because that's my ascending church. And mm-hmm. I was reading all those paperwork and this young man approached me and said, have you ever thought about being ordained? And I was like, well, this is a specific timing. And then God, I was like, yeah, okay. So in the midst of all of this, I have this meeting with this association that comes in to talk to me about ordination and how it works. And I'm those two strange guys shows up and we sit around a conference table and they started asking me 1,000 questions, which felt like an interview, but I didn't know at the time what was happening. And they were saying, why do you want to be part of our good organization? Why do you want to be ordained? And in my spirit, I was like, I don't really, it's not going to change anything of what I'm doing. And I have a straight face and I'm in control of all my emotions, like always. and then in the middle of our meeting, my spirit shifted. There was something in my spirit that completely shifted, where God was saying, the kingdom of God needs this. The kingdom of God needs this. And then I was like, okay, this is interesting. Maybe the kingdom of God needs this short Francophone motorcycle rider, snowboarder, adventurous, stubborn, or a better word, perseverant woman to be ordained. Maybe the kingdom of God needs this. And then God tells me, walls will fall. With this, walls will fall, not doors will open and windows will open, but walls will fall. And then the gentleman leading kind of the meeting he gets up and then he looks at me and he said, you know what? When my wife prepares a dinner, she prepares it ahead of time. Mm. And she's like, Jesus has prepared this place around the table ahead of time in the presence of your enemy, where everything is around, happening around you, is Jesus has been preparing this feast in the presence of your enemy. And I inside started panicking because I was like, God is doing something that's so much bigger. And he's been preparing me for it. He's been putting that verse in my mind. He's been talking to me about it. And like this constant thing that I am with you, I am with you, I am with you. And then the gentleman said, can I anoint you? And then I started panicking too, of being like, oh no, he's going to bring out this bucket and like dip it. Cause this is what God is telling me, that the anointing is so big that it like overflows and people smells it around you. But he comes out of his pocket and bring just the little thing. And I was like, okay, whew, yeah, you can anoint me. And then he anointed me and prayed for me. But it really felt like God anointed me himself with, like, remember that one time I'm in front and seeing this power and this anointing that God has anointed me in the presence of my enemy and everything that is happening around. And then it was people recognizing that calling in me and like anointing me just anointing me. Yeah. So that was just like a snippet of the whole story, but I want to leave the room for other people. But it was so encouraging because God was saying, I am with you. Yeah. I am with you. I am with you. And hard things happen and they continue to happen. But God is with me and God is with us.
Amen. Thank you, Betty Ann. That was wonderful. Praise God. We have one more. Ksenia Weeb is in the queue. So Ksenia, go ahead and unmute, and we'll have that testimony, and we'll head back into our musical worship.
Thanks, Barry. I hope you can hear me all right. I always have issues with this laptop. I just wanted to share that I had kind of a low week. These last 6-8 months have been a time of a lot of blessing and joy, but this past week, I felt so heavy. I felt really distant from God, and I felt a lot of things, tangible things, crumbling in life around me. And I knew that the root of it all was just my lack of a closeness with God, but I also really struggled to be close with Him. And I also felt a lot of sin being revealed to me that I kind of knew was there, but kind of really, really realizing these things that have a hold on my life right now. And I was feeling so sad, and I was sharing with the breakout group that I was in that I spent a lot of time on Friday and Saturday just crying. And yesterday I was crying again. I was alone at home, and I just felt like, you know, I have all this sin and I'm battling it, and I know that God keeps forgiving me, but if I keep coming back to it, you know, is God even happy with that?
Yeah.
I fell asleep, and I slept for like 3 hours, for like 4 to 7. And I just felt so much peace when I woke up, so rested, and I just felt clean too. And I still feel like that sin is a battle, but I really felt like God just forgave me in that moment. And yeah, and this morning I woke up still feeling really heavy, and I'm reading this like Morning and Evening by Spurgeon, which is amazing. Yeah. And I flipped to October 28th because for some reason my morning brain was like, it's October 28th. And then I quickly realized, oh, it's not October 28th. But then I was like, well, maybe there is a reason why God wanted me to look at October 28th. And I don't want to read all of this because it's long, but it just said, like, here is distinguishing grace and discriminating regard. For some are made the special objects of divine affection. Do not be afraid to dwell upon this lofty doctrine of election. It's speaking on John 15:19, which says, I chose you out of the world. And then it says, when your mind is heavy and depressed, you will find it to be a spiritual tonic. Those who doubt the doctrines of grace or who throw them into the shadows miss the richest clusters of grapes. They lose the best wines, the choice food. And then later on it says, when you have soared as high as election, linger on its twin peak, the covenant of grace. And there's a little poem. It says, his oath, his covenant, his blood support me in the raging flood. When every earthly prop gives way, this still is all my strength and stay. And I just felt like God really sent me that word. And he was just telling me again that I'm forgiven. And that, yeah, that he loves me. That's it.
Thanks, Ksenia. Yeah, praise God. That the poem is from an old hymn. So you could actually sing it.